always enjoy it when Pastor Bumpus comes through, because he does the things that I really would like to do, but just really aren't in me right now. So, amen. So with that, let's just welcome, stand and welcome Pastor Bumpus.
And amen, amen. All right, let's give Jesus Christ a good hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Getting used to this mic. Amen. It ain't a sign of nervousness. Well, praise the Lord. I'm straight. Yeah, it'll work right there. Amen. Well, let's have another word of prayer. Is that all right? Father, again, we thank you and praise you for who you are. Thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we all rejoicing in it. I pray, Father, that you would open up the eyes of our understanding so we can understand your word in ways we haven't considered. We give you praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been in the book of James for quite a while. Hallelujah. So we might well go to the book of James. Now, amen. I know y'all ready for this. Hallelujah. Amen. I was speaking by faith. Amen. Amen. But as I said, I'm excited about being here. I have some materials back here on the back. They're free for anybody who want any. Amen. If you want to leave a donation, wonderful. If not, wonderful. Hallelujah. Those are books and stuff, well, some of them, that I give to prisoners. Amen. And, of course, I have thousands of them. So, you know, I ain't gonna be short. Hallelujah. You got the book of James. All right, James chapter 1. Now, y'all know James was the brother of Jesus, and he didn't get born again until after he seen Jesus rise from the dead. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ in his hometown. And that's real good. People wonder why I say that, because, as you know, I do ministry in prison. Y'all saying, and there's a whole lot of religions in there, amen, in there. And I always bring that point out because there are some groups, you know what I mean, especially Islamic groups, if you will, which is my background before I got saved. You know, they have all kind of books and everything, and you know, to contradict the Bible. You know, it seems like everybody who that's a cult don't like the Bible. You know, they all got their own books. And I really like that verse there. I tell them, men in prison, because all of them have heard it, whether they're born again or not, that, you know, because you got all them books out about Jesus did doing all kind of stuff when he was a kid. Amen. You know what I'm saying? They got things about, you know, that Jesus was, you know, because he was human. You know, that's how they look at it. He wasn't divine. You know, he didn't rise from the dead. You know what I'm saying? So, you know how kids are. I mean, see, that's their rationale, you know. So Jesus was, you know, was just a regular child. And so he did all kind of stuff, you know. Now, he was a good prophet, you know what I'm saying? And so he turned clay pigeons, you know, it's one of their favorite, he turned clay pigeons into real pigeons. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? So I let him know, you say James was in Jesus' house, and the Bible said that Jesus, when he went back to his own hometown, he could not do any mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Well, if he did all kind of miracles when he was small, they should have been believers. I mean, is that right? So James should have been a believer before Jesus rose from the dead if he was in the house and Jesus was working all these kind of miracles. I mean, is that correct? So he didn't get born again until after Christ had risen from the dead. And according to tradition, you know me, James was a pastor of a Jewish believers congregation. Y'all got that? That explains verse 1 and verse 2. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So he's talking about the children of Israel. Amen. Y'all see what I'm saying? That had became born again. All right? My brethren, so you know he's talking to Christians because, you know, it says my brethren, right? Count it all joy is where I'm headed at today. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'm reading our New King James Version, which I think I've told y'all before. That's the one that Jesus wrote, right? Okay. Anyway, said fall into various trials. Now, you got a Greek scholar coming tonight, Amen. So y'all can, you know, ask him. But that word trials in the Strong's Concordance, hallelujah, amen. In the Greek, there's three meanings or three words that word trial in the Greek could be translated at. In the Greek, it could be test, or trials, or temptation. Temptation, test, and trials. Those are the three Greek words, you understand, that this word right here, trial, means. So since I know that, when I read this, I always have to read it like when you fall into various temptation, tests, and trials. All right? He said, count it all joy when you fall into temptation, tests, and trials, knowing. Now, you can't count it all joy if you don't know something. You know what I mean? You got to know something to count it all joy. I mean, all temptation, tests, and trials, if you don't know anything, amen, is it not joyous? You know what I mean? And one thing you have to know, now this is a big one right here, not for y'all, but you know, is that in order for me to count it all joy, I got to know where it's coming from. I mean, I can't count it all joy unless I know where it's coming from. Now, some Christians don't get nervous. Now, they count it all joy anyway, you know what I mean, because they feel like everything that happens comes from God. Don't get nervous now. Amen. But temptation, test, and trial don't come from God. Oh, it's real quiet now. So let me hurry up and jump over here at verse number 13. Is the door locked? Oh, okay. I'm just want to make sure. Now, look what he says in verse 13. James saying it. Let no one say, when he is tempted, tested, or tried, I am tempted, tested, and tried by God. For God cannot be tempted, tested, and tried by evil, nor does he himself tempt, test, or try anyone. Now, that's very plain. Don't have to be no theologian, amen. All you got to do is understand basic English. How many know what I'm talking about? And it says right there, so when I'm going through a temptation, test, and trial, the word tells me, don't say God's doing this. Now, if I feel like God is doing it, you know what I mean, then that, and a lot of Christians are like that, so then that's where all the questions come from. Well, I don't say questions. That's where all the doubt and unbelief come from. You know, Lord, why are you bringing this on me? What have I done to deserve this? You know what I mean? I've been serving you all my life, and here I am, you understand, I'm being attacked on all sides. Amen. You know, my marriage is crazy. Amen. Don't say nothing. I'm just talking. You know, my marriage is crazy. The money ain't coming in. They fired me off my job. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, all those things happen. You understand? And I'm a child of God. How could this be happening unto me? Well, that ain't counting the joy. That sounds like complaining. And then there's some folk. Don't get nervous now. When I was in prison, don't get nervous now. I ain't going there. But I'm just saying. You know, years ago, and they put out a great man of God by the name of Merlin Carruthers. You probably don't know him, but he had a book out. He got a bunch of books out called Prison to Praise. And in that book there, he taught how you're supposed to thank God for everything. Thank him that you're locked up. Thank him that you got 145,000 years to do. Thank him. you know what I mean? And of course, got testimonies, you know, of people that just thanked him for it and praised their way out and all that kind of stuff, you know. But the word don't say thank God for everything. Well, let me say it again. It don't say that. It says in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. While I'm in something, I'm going to get, see, that's where the joy comes from. Now, while I'm going through it, I'm going to give God joy that I'm in it. Not that he brought it. Because I know there's a way out of this. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're word folk here, right? And so that means I can read more than one verse. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, amen, in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we know what says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, amen. Now, verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation, test, or trial has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, test, and trial will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now you can learn a lot from God's word by observing what it don't say. It does not say that no temptation, test, or trial that I have put up on you. It don't say that. It just says that there no temptation, test, or trial has overtaken you, but such is common to man. Well, and then he goes on to say, there's a way of escape. How many know there's a way of escape? Well, you know, there's some folk that's suffering for God. You understand? They said they've been suffering for God, you know, maybe a year, two, four, 5 years, you know, and they've been suffering like Job. Well, that's not scriptural. Job's in the old covenant. Satan hadn't been defeated. He didn't have no intercessor. Wasn't born again. Didn't have the Spirit of God. Didn't have angels. Didn't have the name of Jesus. Can you understand what I'm talking about? And he was a spiritually dead man. So what happened to Job should never happen to a born-again believer in today's world. Not only that, you understand, but you don't get nervous. I'm really getting ready to say something now, but I've studied the Bible so long. I hardly can't study. I can't hardly read Job no more. You know, because after the third chapter, God stopped talking. You know, read the book of Job yourself. After the third chapter, God don't say nothing for 38 chapters. So everybody that's talking from chapter 3 all the way over to chapter 38 is Job and all his friends. They the one doing all the talking. And finally, y'all saying in 38, God steps in and says, okay, now hold it, y'all. Which one of y'all is running around here running your mouth? That's how today's vernacular. Y'all see what I'm talking about? He said, which one of y'all running? Where was y'all when I did this? And started talking about all that he did. And Job, after God kept on rebuking him for about a couple of chapters, Job got a little wisdom. He said, hold it. He said, I'm going to put my hand on my mouth. He said, I ain't saying nothing else. Then he goes on to say, you understand what I'm saying, that I had heard about you, but now I know you. Well, see, a lot of people have heard about God and heard what God does, you understand all that, and they base their life on what they heard from somebody else based on what the word of God says. And so when temptation, tests, and trials come, you understand, they start losing the battle. You know, temptation, tests, and trials, some people say, amen, not here, but, you know, you hear this all the time, that temptation, test, and trial only come to make you strong. Now, it sounds good. I teach a prison all the time. I got a class that I teach at a prison every Friday from 1 to 3, you understand? I call it my advanced Bible class, amen? And like I tell them, there's a difference between religion and the Word of God. Now, religion, this is how you can tell what is religion sounds so good, it sounds like it should be in the Bible. You know, it sounds so good. You know, the difference is it ain't in there. You see what I'm saying? Like temptation, test, and trial come to make you strong. And ain't no verse that says that. Don't no temptation, test, or trial come to make you strong. If you've ever been through one, I know you have because you're born again. And not only that, you're in this world. Anybody in this world going to have that. I say, we'll get there. But, temptation, test, and trial come to make you quit. You ever notice that? I mean, the temptation, test, and trial, I mean, the money, you're praying, you believe in God, you know what I'm saying? The money ain't showed up, you know what I'm saying? I know this, and the thought says, well, I know this is true, but why is it taking so long? You know what I'm talking about? Why? You know what I mean? I mean, you're praying, you're believing for healing or whatever you're standing for, you understand? And it's taking a while for it to manifest. You know what I'm saying? There's a tendency, because Satan will bring it to your mind. You know, maybe God's trying to teach you something here. Well, I tell folk all the time, if that's the case, if you really feel like temptation, test, and trial come to make you strong, and then the word then told us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we should be praying for more temptation, test, and trial. You know, I mean, we want to be strong in the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? And if that's how you get strong, Lord, bring on the temptation, test, and trial. But I ain't found nobody that's foolish enough to pray that prayer. Seems like everybody who I know going through a temptation, test, and trial is trying to figure out how to get out of it. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, the word tells us there is a way out. Now, what I found also, if there's a way out, then the tendency is I don't have to be in this trial long. It's like my analogy that I give guys in prison that they can identify with, you probably could too. I said, okay, just say you committed a crime. You stand before that judge, you understand, they give you life without a possibility of parole. And then everybody in the courtroom leaves. Ain't nobody in the courtroom but you. How long are you going to stay in that courtroom? Well, see, y'all don't know. Ain't nobody in there. They just gave me life without possibility of parole, and everybody left. I'm going to take a few steps, see who's outside that door. If ain't nobody in the hall, I'm gone. How many know I'm gone? I have escaped. Now, I'll do this life without possibility of parole when they catch me. You understand what I'm talking about? But I'm taking the way of escape. As soon as I see a way out, I'm getting out of there. I mean, is that right? Well, that's what God says right here with the temptation test of trial. There is a way out. He said there is a way of escape. So that means if there's a way of escape, I will stay, or that individual will stay in that temptation test of trial until we can find a way out, which means that I don't have to be in there forever. Well, one of the ways out is right here in verse number 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. That's the first thing Satan brings to you. Yeah, I understand all that. You understand what I'm saying? But he talked that prosperity stuff, and I believe in it. But after all, he's a preacher. Amen. You understand? Saying? Got connections. Know people that I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? Some money probably come to him easy. I don't know nobody. I know this ain't y'all, but I'm just saying, you know, ain't nobody being, you know, and some folk, you know, well, I know people that have been through all kind of temptations, tests, but I don't know nobody who's been in one like I got. See, that's one of Satan's favorite. His favorite is, yeah, but you, ain't nobody going through it like you. I mean, nobody. Well, see, but the word says it's common to man. That means anything that's happened to me, it's happening to somebody else. And they didn't got through it, so that means I'm going to get through it. Because now, if I feel like I'm the only one, then I got to have a special word. I mean, this right here is fine, but I need something a little deeper. Well, I already surrendered then. I got to realize this is common to man. You know what I'm saying? Now, since it's common to man, now everything God, the Bible said, God then gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Or God has given us all things that pertain to life and a godly lifestyle. So everything that pertains to life is in this book. And all I got to do is find it, and operate in that, and I'm already out. I tell people all the time, you understand, you know, now the way out got to go deeper than saying just get in the word. This is a what, Baptist church? I'm just saying because we're quiet. Ain't nothing wrong with Baptist church. I'm just, you know, praise the Lord. Let me say it again. We got to do more than tell people to just get in the word. You know, I'm reminded of a guy that was in prison, and he was in there for a DUI. You know, I think he had something like 3 years to do. And he came in, and I had a Bible study going on, so he got with the guys that was in the Bible study. And, you understand, and got in, you know, got this, and I was also a Christian counselor there. They didn't pay me, but I was there, amen, so I could have a Bible study. And so after about 6, 7, 8 months, he wanted to come into my office and talk to me. So he came in, he wanted to talk to me. That's how I found out. He said, man, I'm in here for DUW, you know, driving without, whatever, DUI. He said, I'm almost time for me to be getting out. He said, and I didn't want to leave out saying where I came in. He said, so I got with the brothers in the Bible study, you understand, and I told them that, and I asked him, what should I do? And they said, man, you need to get in the Word, you know what I mean? So he says, I've been reading my Bible. He said, but they never told me how. See, just telling somebody to get in the Word, how? What Word? You know, just like my 14-year-old grandson, amen, we take care of our grandchildren. We didn't have them since they was small. My daughter was in school, and plus she liked the school that they go to. You know what I mean? It's, you know, nice schools, amen. And so we don't push them out. We just live Christ in front of them. And one of my daughter's granddaughter, getting ready to go to college, you know what I'm saying? She's in Crusade for Christ or whatever, you know, in school. And you know, they made her, I mean, she's the next sale. Well, look up, she got him going, born again. And he told me the other day, yeah, granddaddy, you know, I'm reading my Bible. I praise the Lord. Where you reading it at? Genesis. No. I told him, no, you don't want to start there. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to do all right until you get to Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you understand? Then you want to put your Bible down, amen? No, you need to start in the book of John. How many know what I'm talking about? So people need to know how to read the Word of God, how to get into the Word, instead of saying just get in the Word. And so I found that, like, if you're going, your temptation, test, and trial, the way out is the Word of God. Number one, you got to know God ain't doing it. Amen, because, I mean, if God's doing it, then, I mean, you know, you're starting wrong in the first place because, you know, why is he doing this? You know, some people say, well, you know, God put temptation, tests, and trials on you because he's trying to find out how much faith you got. You know, he's just testing your faith. And that sounds good, except in Hebrews he said he's the author and the finisher of my faith. So if he's the author of it, he's the one that gave it to me. You mean tell me he don't know he gave me faith? So he got to try me, put a test on me to see if I got faith? No, he's the one that gave it to me. He know I got faith. Somebody else don't think you got faith, and his name is the devil. See, because he had you. Don't get nervous now. He had every one of us, amen. Because I know it's hard to believe, but ain't nobody been saved. Let me say it again. Ain't nobody been born saved. Is that right? So everybody born a sinner. And when we was born a sinner, we had the nature of the devil in us. He had us. And Satan is persistent. He is determined. I had him once, I can get him again. And so Satan desire, if he feel like if he can create the right kind of temptation, test, or trial, the right kind of circumstances, he'll make you throw your Bible down. I share with guys in the joint. And they understand this all the time. When I first got born again, you know, and I'm in prison, I'm a veteran of the system. You know, not a veteran, military, veteran convict. Amen? And so being in prison, you understand, it's a mindset. You know, the main mindset is, you know, I'm a man. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, you can't talk about me. And it's got a code inside prison. You know, somebody running their mouth about you got to stop that. I mean, whatever, you got to stop. You got to stop that. I mean, hit them in the mouth, do what you got. You got to stop all that. And, you know, boy, wasn't saved, didn't make no, you know, I'm going to stop it. There ain't no problem. But now I'm saved. And so when you get born again, you understand, the baby Christian, you understand, you know, first thing people inside penitentiary think is that since you're born again, you got to let people slap you. Well, you can't do that in penitentiary. You can't get slapped in prison. I hear on the street, okay, but not in penitentiary. And so, you understand what I'm saying? You know, or people running their mouth about you. Well, there was a guy that was, I'm in the main prison, state prison. He's working in the camp outside there, and they would come in and do some work inside the walls there. And I was in federal prison with him. Hey, amen. I was a real heathen back then, you know, real heathen. And so he's lying, saying some things about me that's wrong. And so some of the guys is telling me this, so I'm praying about, Lord, how do I deal with this? You know what I mean? How do I deal with this? This is what I'm talking about. See, how many know that's a temptation? See, that's a trial there. And I look up one day, and I worked in the kitchen, and hear him and his team come into the chow hall. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to do, you know what I mean, was run over and hit him in his mouth, but I'm saved. Don't get nervous now. And not only that, but, you know, they might have been lying. How many know what I'm talking about? See, they might have been lying trying to set him up. I mean, people play them on mind games, you know what I mean? So I found myself, just got saved, and I found myself approaching him in the middle of the child hall so everybody in the penitentiary could hear. You know, and I heard myself saying, man, keep your mouth off me. If not, I'll put this Bible down and knock you out. Now, I'm discipling some other young guys. Now, of course, you know, he backed up. Man, I ain't said, you know, blah, blah, but I ain't paying attention to her. But now, that kind of messed up my witness. How many know it kind of messed up my witness? You know what I mean? And it dawned on me, wait, what why did I do it? I had to repent. How many know I had to repent? And I didn't know the difference then. I didn't know you could repent and keep on going. I had to repent for days. You know, I was told that if you didn't really cry, you know, you ain't really repenting. So I'm repenting, you know what I mean? And so I realized it's the devil. And that's why he came. He was bringing all this stuff. What he wanted? What did the devil want? He wanted me back. I was a good soldier for him, and he wanted me back. He wanted to get me before I got started. So he brought a temptation, test, and trial into my way, and I thank God now if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, amen, because I was filled with the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I probably would have lost my salvation or gave it up in there, you understand, because, you know, it would have continued on, but I caught it, and I didn't get myself in that trap no more. The temptation, test, and trial, they come to separate you from God. They do not come from God. All right, turn your Bible to Matthew. Amen. Am I doing all right? So that means whatever you're going through, you don't have to keep on going through it. Okay. I'll say it again. Whatever you're going through, you don't have to keep on going through it. Amen. Amen. Your way out is the word. Now, your way out is the word. What do you mean your way out is the word? See, you got to define it. Well, let's just, whatever the situation is, I tell folk there's a shortcut. How many would like to know the shortcut? All right, there's a shortcut. The shortcut is whatever you're going through, you need to get scriptures to deal with that. See, ain't no sense of studying prosperity and I'm needing healing. Can you understand what I'm talking about? You know, I mean, I got a problem with anger. I mean, I don't. I'm just saying. Just say you got a problem with anger, believing and confessing prosperity is not going to help your anger. Amen. If I need to get delivered from that anger, I need to get into that word and study them scriptures and meditate on that word, you understand what I'm saying, that's dealing with the situation that I'm dealing with. Spend all the time I have on that until I get my breakthrough, until I find myself out of it. That's the way out. The way out is find out what I'm dealing with and then concentrate in the word of God where that's concerned until I get my miracle. Or until I get my deliverance. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. Therefore, red ink. Amen. We know about the red ink, right? Even the theologians can't mess with the red ink. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was his fall. Notice in verse number 25. It says the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Notice y'all stand in verse number 27. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Now that lets me know whether I built my house on the sand or the rock. The rain's going to descend, the floods going to come, and the wind's going to blow. So it don't make no difference whether I'm saved or unsaved. Same thing happened to unsaved folk, happened to saved folk. Unsaved folk lose their job, saved folk lose their job. Unsaved folk get sick, saved folk get sick. Don't get nervous, come preach real good. Unsaved people, you understand, you know, go broke. Amen. Christians can go broke. How many know what I'm talking about? Why? Because we're living in a fallen world. Just because we're born again don't exempt us from this world. We ain't exempt from this world until Jesus take us out of here. Amen. As long as we're in here, you understand, then we have to put on our armor. Amen. Put on our whole armor and keep it on. Had to go to bed with the armor on. I say amen. Some Christians, you understand, they get the sword out and they fight till they win this one, and then they throw the armor down. You know, Satan is, I always said he's a persistent cuss because I got that from Kenneth Hagin. You know, they always talk about Kenneth Hagin, you understand, because he never had a bad word to say about anybody. And so they came to him and they just knew, you understand, well, you know, what about the devil? You know, he said, well, he's a persistent cuss. Still, he had nothing bad to say about anybody here, which is true, you understand. Satan never quits. And so a Christian should have that attitude that we never quit, but that we always win. Look at 2 Corinthians. I think I'm doing all right. Well, I mean, I know I'm doing all right. Faith comes by hearing, I'm hearing it. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this is one of my favorite verses. Well, all of them favorites. But 2 and 14 says, now thanks be to God who sometimes, in 14, it don't say sometimes? No, it said who thanks be unto God who always, somebody say always, leads us in triumph. Triumph means we always win. Always win. Somebody said, well, yeah, I was working on that, but I didn't win. Well, look at Galatians chapter 6, and I'm showing you why you didn't. Not y'all, but I mean that person that would ask that probably listened by tape somewhere, but not in here. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Now, Galatians after, it's in here. Right. Yeah, it is. There it is. Galatians chapter 6. Amen. And let's look at verse number 7, Galatians 6 and 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Now we all know, you understand, maybe some people don't know. That's another thing. People go through temptation, test, and trial, and they'll say things like, well, you know, I'm just reaping, amen, some of them wild seeds that I sowed. Amen, before I got saved. Well, you can't do that. Because the moment you got born again, all them seeds died. All them seeds under blood. So you ain't reaping from the old days. I mean, you ain't got none to reap. You're a new person in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. You're no longer that person. So he can't bring that up. But Satan will bring it up if we let him. All right? He says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting. And let us not grow weary. Well, the implication is that you can grow weary. He didn't say, and let us, he said, and let us not grow weary. Well, like I said, the fact that he said, let us not grow weary, there is an implication you can go weary. Some of the people not lose, but they give up on where healing is concerned or finance are concerned because they've been standing and standing and standing and like, man, I'm just tired. Well, they just gave up. They grew weary. And when you grow weary, you understand, sometimes you just go home. Amen. Early. I'm going to 120. I'm halfway there. Well, I'm halfway. Praise the Lord. No, I'm a little further than halfway, but praise the Lord anyway. He says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if. Boy, that's a bad word there. I mean, that's a powerful word. That is if is the most powerful word in your Bible. But let me say it again. If. It's the most powerful word in the Bible. Seems like every word, every promise God has in the Bible, there's an if attached to it. And the if basically is, if you do it, this is what I'll do. If you continue in my word, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's if you continue in my word. If you abide in him, he abides in you. If is a powerful word. And the reason why, because as long as we're born again, we always got a choice. Don't get nervous now. That's why, okay. Well, I might as well say it anyway, since y'all thinking it anyhow. Well, no, y'all ain't thinking it, I'm thinking it. Well, no, that's why, don't get nervous now. That's why it ain't no once saved, always saved. Yeah, I said it. Ain't no once saved, always saved. And the reason why, because you always got a will. Amen. And if I can't never exercise my will, then God took it, and he don't take your will. So as long as I got a will, I can exercise it. So if I don't want to be saved, I don't have to be saved. That's an if on there. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, turn there real quick. Man, I'm enjoying myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, verse 1, moreover, brother, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if, you see that word if? He says, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So he's saying right here, you will stay, that word, I preached the word to you, and you will stay saved if you hold on to that word that I preach to you. What if I don't hold on to it? Well, okay. You know, your favorite verse of scripture, what, not favorite, but all, you know, I keep saying favorite. All of them are favorite. Hebrews chapter 6, we all read that one. I like this one right here. Hebrews chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of dead works, foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms. I always like to put the S on there. That means there's more than one baptism. Amen. There's baptism in water. There's baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there's a baptism in fire. Amen. Of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. You can't be saved without being enlightened. And have tasted a heavenly gift. Well, you know that's Jesus. And have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know you're saved now. And have tasted the good word of God. So you also know the word of God. And the powers of the age to come, that's operating in the gifts of the Spirit. If, powerful word, they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again. That's somebody saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, you know, all that. Y'all tell what I'm talking about. And if they fall away. Now, a lot of your sophisticated Bibles, amen, on the margin of that, they would say this person right here would be an apostate. They would classify that on the side of your Bible, this individual is an apostate. What is an apostate? An apostate is one that has denied the faith. So it's saying right here, now you can't deny something you ain't never had. Is that correct? This person, born again, spirit filled, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, know the word of God, and exercise their will and still turn from God. That's called an apostate. They have denied the faith. You talking about, you know, y'all heard about that group called ISIS? And you know, they go around killing other Muslims? You know, they kill other Muslims. You know why? Because to them, they are apostates. They're worshiping Islam, but not like they're doing it, which is the purest form of Islam, the way they're doing it. And others are not doing it like that. You understand? So others are apostate. They have left the faith. If you're a Muslim, you understand, and you turn to Christ, you are an apostate, and you can have your head cut off. An apostate is one that has denied the faith or left that faith. So right here, he's talking about, here's the Christians that left the faith. An apostate. So ain't no one saved, always saved. You say, not, don't get nervous that you can't just lose your salvation. I mean, it ain't like you can go to bed one night, get up in the morning and say, oh my God, where'd my salvation go? you can't lose it, you know what I'm saying? But you can deny it. You can say, man, I'm through with this. Amen. And the temptation test, see, now here's the deal. The devil knows that. Even though Christians who don't want to believe that, the devil knows that. Some folks say, well, yeah, you ain't lost your salvation. You're just out of fellowship. Well, if I'm out of fellowship, that means me and you ain't talking. Now, if I'm out of fellowship with God, me and him ain't talking, how am I going to go to heaven and me and him ain't talking? Moving right along. Temptation tested trial do not come to make us strong. Let's go back to James. I'm coming to an end. Hallelujah. Amen. James, I'm still in James chapter 1. Okay. And James, so he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The person that's testing your faith is the devil. He don't believe you. He don't believe that you believe what you said. He's trying to change your confession. It's like old Robert used to say, you understand, that you believe in God for something, you prayed for it. You understand, God, your basket of blessings is on the way down. Your faith is the rope that's pulling it on down. As long as you hold the rope, you understand what I'm saying, eventually it's going to manifest. Satan's job is to get you to turn the rope loose. That's the story we learned from Daniel. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said Daniel, when he prayed, the angel showed up. The angel said, from the first day that you set your heart to get an answer, I was on the way. The first day. But he said, it took me 21 days to get here. Said, Satan, you understand, withstood me. You understand, I had to go call for Michael. And you know, when Michael shows up, it's over. And that's how he got through. And he said, I am come for your word. But it took him 21 days waiting. So it lets me know that when I pray in line with God's word, whatever I'm believing God for, the answer's on the way. And that's the purpose. That's the reason for the temptation, test, and trial. Amen. The temptation. See, because I believe God for this money to come in. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And it ain't showed up yet. You understand what I'm talking about? Satan knows, you understand, that, boy, if it shows up, it's going to bring you joy. And then next time you face something like that again, you remember how it came in the last time. So his job is to stop you from the beginning. Satan loves to come in the beginning of that temptation, test, and trial. In the beginning, he loves to come. You know, he attacked Jesus in the early 2 years. I mean, is that right? When Jesus was born, y'all said 2 years, Herod said, kill everybody 2 years and under. So he was trying to stop him before his work got done, before his work even begun, he was trying to stop him. And then Jesus went on, did his work, and then once he stepped out there in ministry, Satan was still coming around. You know, he never stopped. Satan is our enemy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, when the tempter came. Satan is the tempter. Matthew chapter 4. I know y'all know this, but faith comes by looking at it. No, revelation comes by looking at it. Faith comes by hearing. Matthew chapter 4. Amen. Verse 4 and 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, and tried by God. That's 4 and 1. It don't say that? No, it says to be tempted, tested, and tried by who? The devil. Satan is the tempter. Plain as day, Satan is the tempter. And so if he's tempted me or tested me, why is that? Oh, that's some good stuff there. If I'm going through temptation, test, and trial, that must mean I got some faith. And the harder the temptation, test, and trial is, I must have great faith. Because that's the purpose of the temptation, test, and trial from the devil, is to test my faith. Amen? Now, what it produces is patience. Which we already have. That's so powerful. God already gave us that. That's long suffering. We got this, the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. It ain't short suffering. We're talking about temptation, test, trial. Said long suffering. I like that too, because it's not forever suffering. It's long. And your long might be different than somebody else's long. But now the suffering that we go through, and I'm closing, is not, we're supposed to arm ourselves with the same mind like Christ did. And so we have to examine the suffering. When you're going through temptation, test, and trial, you'll say, maybe I'm, you know, the Bible says I'm supposed to suffer for the Lord, amen, suffer like the Lord. Y'all see what I'm talking about? So maybe this is what it is. Okay, let's see what Jesus suffered then. Okay, the Bible says he was bruised for my iniquity. So I don't have to suffer being bruised. He said that he bore my grief. So I don't have to suffer grief. He bore that for me. In fact, Jesus bore everything. By his stripes, I was healed. He bore everything that I'm going to suffer except one thing. Now, when I read, I don't see Jesus there was hungry, so I don't have to suffer being hungry. Jesus wasn't broke, so I don't have to suffer being broke. Jesus there was sick, so I don't have to suffer being sick. So when I examine, what is it that Jesus did that was not for me that I have to suffer? Only one, persecution. Suffering for Jesus is just the persecution. Everything else he did for you, so I wouldn't have to go through it. But the one thing he did is the persecution. You and I have to suffer the persecution. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. That's the only thing. Mark chapter 10. Amen. Another one of my favorite verses of scripture. Because I found out with this one right here that, you know, I didn't have to choose between money and heaven. You know, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Amen. I found that I can have both. Matthew 10, 29. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake in the gospel who should not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, only one wife." You know, there ain't no 100 wives in there. One wife. And he said, with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. So I can have all of that and eternal life, but I'm going to be persecuted. And that's the thing about persecution. You know, people don't like persecution. Amen. Everybody want everybody talking good about you. I'm here to bring you some good news. Everybody ain't talking good about you. Now, it don't make no difference whether you're saved or unsaved. Everybody is never gonna be talking good about you. Now, I always tell people this: your attitude during your temptation, test, and trial determines your altitude. God can only take you as high as you can deal with the persecution. See, he will not allow you, amen, to be tempted, tested, or tried above what you're able to bear. It's just like somebody else standing there, you know, coming out of penitentiary, amen, and they've been using drugs and selling dope and all that all their life, you understand, and, you know, they ain't never had nothing legal, and they get out, you understand, and they out for a little while, and somebody give them a car. The persecution starts. Word gonna get around. Man, where you get that car at? He ain't got no job. You know what he's doing. He got to be doing something. Now, when you hear that, what's your attitude? Is my attitude where they at? You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm talking about people in the world. That's how they act. You know what I mean? Where they at? I got to find them. You know what I'm saying? Same thing inside penitentiary. Same time out. I got to find. Man, you know what I mean? Keep your mouth off me. You know what I mean? You don't know my Ben Blob. Okay. Well, see, that temptation almost caused me to hit that guy in the mouth. That's my attitude. You know what? That means I ain't getting no another car. Because if I get a better car, I'm going to be tempted above I'm able to bear it. If I almost hit the guy in the mouth on the used car, the new car might make me kill it. No, I'm just So our attitude while we're going through it, you understand, determines our altitude. And what I'm talking about going through is the persecution. People are going to talk about you. They're going to talk about the church. Oh, they'll talk about your church. They'll talk about all y'all going over in that cult. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you'll hear that everywhere. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I ain't supposed to get mad. That must mean I must be blessed. I am blessed. That's the reason why they're talking. So my job is just to let my light shine. Can I give you one more verse? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10. Paul talking. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Now, you can go back and read what happened. I do this. What happened at Antioch, and you can read what happened at Iconium, and you can see what happened at Lystra, and then you'll see what the temptation test trial was that he went through. It was persecution. They were stoning him, doing all kinds of stuff. None of it was sickness. None of it was disease. It was being attacked for the preaching the gospel. He said, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer sickness, disease, poverty, and lack. No, it says shall suffer persecution. Persecution going to happen. I just came through a tremendous trial. You know, I have trials too, you know. Amen. We have a reentry program called Jesus House. Most of you all know, you understand, where we can house up to 46 guys long term. Now, the state or every city, they have a law for transitional housing. That's the reason why most transitional housing only go 90 days. Anything over 90 days is not transitional. Well, ours go, you know, say we got guys been there a year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So ours is long. Well, in my city, it ain't no zoning for that. None. Now, we was doing good for 10 years, you understand, right there where we at. But we had an unsaved, nosy neighbor. And so I got tired of her meddling. You know, looking all over everything, you know what I mean? And I thought we was zoned right. You know, I didn't check it. I thought we were, you know what I mean? My mistake, but I thought we were because it was a former nursing home. You understand what I'm saying? So I assumed we would be all right, parking and all that. Well, next thing I know, you understand, to keep her from being nosy, I went on, you understand, got a permit, spent $500 to put up a 7-foot privacy fence. And I started putting the fence up, and she called the police on me. And so the police, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm putting up a fence there. Well, you can't put that fence. I said, well, I mean, not her, but that's what she's saying. I'm showing the paper. She tells the police that he's crooked. Persecuted. He's crooked. That paperwork, he probably had it forged. So the police officer said, well, ma'am, why don't he just let him put the fence up? If it ain't right, the city, you know, if it ain't up to code, the city will come down and tear it up. Now, so she goes downtown to find out how she could stop the fence from going up. And lo and behold, she find out that we're not zoned properly. Next thing I know, I get a citation in the mail that we had to take all our signs down, take the sign out of the parking lot, and we had to be out of there within 30 days. Well, of course, you understand, I schedule a hearing, you know, appeal, and we go down there. Now, you can't cross-examine in that. This you know, can't cross-examine. So we go down, and we had to get an attorney. So we get an attorney. We go down there. And when we get down there, it's everybody in the board for the city government is not there. There's only 5 of them there. And so, you understand, we present our case. And, of course, I'm confessing. You know, my confession is, thanks be unto God, we always win. We always win. And so, you understand, we go down there. Man, the woman was good. Don't get nervous, going to preach, we're good. She was an older black lady. Don't get nervous now. And she purposely came down there with a cane. You understand what I'm talking about? Boy, she played it good. And she just lied. Talking about them, he talking about he don't have no sex offenders there. I know he has sex offenders over there, and they be putting wine bottles. I mean, she just told all kinds of stuff, and you can't cross-examine. And so my attorney, you know, he thought he was, but he wasn't all that good. I mean, he was good, but he wasn't ready for her. And finally, y'all stand, they took the vote. It was five of them, so they voted 4-1 to deny us. So I said, okay, well, we can appeal the denial. You know, we can schedule a hearing for just a judge. So we appeal. That's cost money. Amen. God supplied the money. We go down, must go by. We still operate, must go by. We go down there for appeal. Here's the judge. You know what I'm saying? Just the judge. You know what I mean? And just the judge. And this woman here. And, you know, I got me and got all the men from Jesus' house. You know what I'm saying? We packed the courtroom out, you know, and other friends. And so we have the hearing, you know what I'm saying? The woman just lied. And so, y'all, you know, saying she told him, and the place just nasty. They got used cars on the parking lot and everything. And then the judge says, well, that's surprising because I had somebody go by there the other day and I didn't see nothing like that. So the judge granted it to us. Wait a minute. She appealed. Now, when she appealed, now we got to go back to that same court. You know what I'm saying? So the fact is 9 of them now. And so I never forget my lawyer, my attorney, you understand, is talking to, he said, he's talking, you know, behind the scenes, trying to get some, see what we have to do, you know, what all we could do. And he says, Pastor Bumper says, man, they, I don't know what, he said, they just hard down there. They ain't giving. He said, we need some kind of leverage. And lo and behold, you understand, about a week later, they put us on the front page of the Indianapolis paper. Front page about trying to close Jesus' house down, and somebody on the news do a story on how they're trying to close us down. And next thing I know, my attorney calls me in. He hears from some attorneys in Illinois. They read the story, did the background, and they wanted to sue the state on our behalf. And they said, we'll sue them, you understand, you know what I mean, on, you know, violating your civil rights, also your religious right, because in order for them to close you down, there's got to be some other place where you could locate, and there's 0 point whatever, no places for something that you got to do there. So, you know, and so anyway, so he said, okay, so he take this to the city attorneys. Next thing I know, I get a letter from the city attorney saying, Mr. Bumpus, we understand you going to court. Y'all stand for this. Now, it's not guaranteed you're going to win. However, we would love the opportunity to work with you. We feel like, you know, I mean, you know, everything. So we agreed to let, you know, try. So we go back for the nine, but nine is up to the nine people there. I told my people, don't worry about it. We're going to get nine. We went up there and the woman performed, but they voted 9-0 to rezone us. So we rezoned, we won there, but it took a year and a half and over $10,000. But the point is, I'm rejoicing because, you know what I mean, it's a done deal, can't never happen again. And not only that, but the Lord told me when it happened, he said, which I already knew, he said, you know, I'm not doing this. He said, everybody in prison know who you are. He said, but the city don't. He said, I'm going to take this opportunity to let everybody in state government know who you are. And man, I mean, it's been wonderful ever since. Amen. So I'm here to say, whatever you're going through, amen. God has the answer for you. Amen. And it's not coming from God. Y'all get anything out of that? Amen. Let's stand up and give the Lord a good hand clap then. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Let's say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I count it all joy. Knowing that no temptation, test, or trial is coming from you. I know you provide the way of escape. And I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit to show me that way out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. God bless you.
Amen. Well, I enjoyed that.